B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Oh, 3 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5. The Fanatic 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corpley's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Tim McManus will join us at 4:10. I haven't talked to Tim in a while. I've been reading this story about, I think it's Pro Football Focus, saying who the Eagles are likely targeting. And the name HaHa Clinton Dix came up. The name Bashaud Perryman came up. And Jason Peters in a re-signing came up.
Interesting.
So we'll get the lowdown here. Actually, the first two make sense. And Peters makes sense because I didn't realize how lowly Dillard graded out. He graded out terribly last year, according to Pro Football Focus.
Oh, he did.
Yes.
Oh, he was bad against the
pressures.
Yeah, bad against the pass.
A lot. And so Pro Football Focus is suggesting that the Eagles are going to bring him back for one more year. Perryman gives him a big, fast receiver. And HaHa Clinton Dix gives him a little more versatility, I think, than McLeod. So,
and then what that allows you to do then is if you let Jenkins walk, you could pair him with a young safety that you draft.
Yeah.
Or you could play them together, obviously, but I'm saying that Jenkins thing doesn't seem like a lock.
You're right.
It could
be replacing Jenkins instead of McLeod, or both. And they would be reasonable contracts.
Yes.
Like, they're not going to bust the bank for any of those guys, any of those three.
And the right age on the first two.
Yes.
Right age on the first two to get younger than Peters. And there have been people who said, say what you want, he's better than what you could. You can't replace Peters. They were saying they don't have a replacement.
He's better. I didn't realize how poorly Dillard graded out. So he all of a sudden becomes better to me. You know, and
right.
My first blush is like, you know, come on, you got to move on from the dude. You drafted a guy, but the guy you drafted is not grading well, so maybe it's got him skittish.
And you got to take care of your quarterback at all costs at this point. At all costs.
All right. So he'll come up before 10. Is this a Booney thing that Fleury and Murray split time to win the cup in 2017?
Yeah, Booney found it.
Did Fleury play only because Murray got hurt early in those playoffs? I think Murray got hurt. Fleury came in and played well.
And they rolled.
But I don't think that they ended with Fleury.
I'll have to look up the game law. I'll find it.
My sense is that Fleury only played because Murray got hurt in like the first or second game of their first series.
All right.
We'll check that out. All right, let's go Liam in Northeast Philly. Liam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Liam.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Liam?
Hey, man. So I'm just calling in to talk about the Flyers. I mean, as of late, it seems like everybody's kind of hopping on board now. They're eighth in the NHL. They've been on a nice run the second half of the season. For some reason, all my buddies, they're saying Carter Hart's Swiss cheese. I know on the road, he's struggling a lot, but just talking about tonight for the benching, he's not playing tonight. I don't think this has anything to do with him being so poor on the road. I think it's just kind of to rest him because, I mean, he has come back from that injury. He's played the last three games. So, I mean, and they got a couple tough games coming up. I know they got a home-and-home against the Rangers. They also have to play the Hurricanes, the Capitals. Capitals, one's on the road. That's going to be a big one. So I don't think it has anything to do with the struggle he's been having on the road so far this season.
Well, listen, it might be a prudent thing to do. I get your point about bringing him back slow. But like, what are you going to do in the playoffs? Are you planning to play two goalies in the playoffs? And see, that's what I'm thinking now that he's thinking. Because it comes a point in time where the kid's going to have to play games in a row. Like, he's got a day of rest between these two games. He just beat that team. Like, if there's ever a spot to play the kid, it would be tonight.
No, yeah, I feel that. I don't think the long-term plan is to play back, like, switch between two goalies for the playoffs. I think you need that goalie to be consistent throughout. I mean, only teams that win the cups, you see it. They have that one goalie. He's playing hot. I think Carter Hart's definitely our guy. I mean, I don't know how far he'll go this year. But, I mean, I have all the confidence in him. Still young. Just to get that playoff experience under his belt would be huge.
This would be a nice playoff experience type of game, though. No, I mean you can put that team out of your misery. You get a W on the road for the kid. You play him in back to back. That makes sense. I don't know. I like AV, but I have to disagree with this call.
No, I mean it is a tough one, but the way I look at it is just he hasn't even been back. It's a week now today.
He's a young boy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like he's an older guy. Yeah, young muscles are flexible, brother.
No, I know.
Come on, Liam. Let's go. Comes a point in time you get to stand up like a man. Aaron Norristown. Oh, Aaron will have an opinion on this. Aaron, who are you playing tonight, Aaron?
Michael, I'm going to come with you with facts, not with opinion. You have to play Elliott. You just played Carter Hart three games in a row. The next three games are at home, which he's going to play because he's the best goalie at home in the NHL.
Oh, good. That's good. They have a nice little blankie for him at home. See where I'm going with this?
Michael, let me give you some facts.
Give him a blankie.
You and Tyrone were trying to find teams that won cups with two goalies.
Uh-huh.
You really didn't have to look that far. 15, it was Corey Crawford and Scott Darling for the Blackhawks. 16, it was Matt Murray, Fleury, and Zatkoff for the Penguins. 17, it was Fleury, and then followed by Murray. These goalies were all used home and away.
Murray got hurt.
Well, still two goalies. And then last year for the Capitals, down the stretch, the Capitals used Grubauer, who actually started game one in the playoffs. And then Brandon Holby had to regain his game and find his game and started two games later in the series. So,
you're talking about regaining the game. More than the other, who would you want as your playoff goalie?
I want Carter Hart to play at home, and I want Elliott to play on the road. Elliott is 10-5-2.
You're going
to
split your goalies. You're going to go home and on the road.
Not consistently. You just play it out. I mean, Michael, there's a team. This isn't an established playoff team. They're getting into the playoffs. I just want to get into the second position. And I'm telling you right now, after tonight's game, when they win, because they're playing a depleted Columbus team without Atkinson and without Seth Jones, when they win this game easily tonight, which they will do.
Oh, my God. Should I bet it?
Absolutely. They're 0-3-3. The Columbus Blue Jackets are in their last six games. They're falling apart. If you actually, and their coach is melting down, if you see what the Flyers are going to do, the next 20 games, 12 of the next 20, last 20 games are at home. They're 12-8 at home. They're basically a Stanley Cup finalist if they just played at home. They're the third best home team in the league, best goal differential. You can't play Hart seven games in a row, buddy, at the end of the year. You can't have him beat up after this beginning. You have to let him sit this one game. The next three games at home will play, and then what's his name can play the game on the Rangers. By the time March comes in, they will be in second place in the division.
I'm going to bet it right now, man. I'm going to bet the Flyers tonight right now. I'm going to do it right now.
Well, I got to cover it if you lose.
While you're on the phone, I'm going to play. I'm going to do it right now. I'll see what the line is.
I'm going to ask you another opinion on the NFL while you're doing that.
Yeah.
What do you think about the new rule change going to 17 games and 7 games make 17?
Yeah, we're
going to
talk about that. I kind of like it. Tyrone,
only one bye.
Not in favor of it. I like it.
I got mixed emotions on it. It's interesting, though.
Well, why would you have mixed emotions on it? You got more playoff games, right?
I basically like it. It's just a matter of change, getting used to. So, yes, the answer is I definitely like it. It's just a matter of getting used to change.
Are you reluctant to change?
Not at all. I'm older, so it takes a little time to get there.
Okay. All right, man, you got it. All right, let's talk about that. Tyrone, you don't like this because you believe the players are being taken advantage of with the health-wise.
Big time. And I think that they may fall for it. But I hope that they don't, because the owners are getting, and the players are getting a very small amount of concessions from the owners. If they're going to do this, they should get more concessions, like lifetime medical, for example. If you do that, then I don't love it, but at least I understand. Apparently, the only change will be 1% more of the revenue flipping to the players, which would make the next year's cap, assuming they sign it by, I guess, March 17th or 18th, that would end up being $5 million more per team.
So you don't think that's worth it enough for them to give in?
No, not
there should be more major concessions.
Right.
Now, you know what's going to happen, right?
They're going to cave.
Of course they're going to cave, because more money is more money. And they're not looking at it like, well, it's only a little bit more money. More money to a player association means more money in the future as well.
I also don't think it will improve the product. Because people are saying now, I like the one part of the one team getting the bye, but I don't like that week 17 being in the playoffs. Because that means a team like the Rams last year get in, or the Steelers last year. See, it's already, there are many years, not every year is the same, but there's two out of 4 years, half the time, there's a team at the bottom who kind of doesn't belong in that gets in a 7-9 type team or whatever as it is. Now, once you add that seventh team, now you're going to deal with there's going to be a 6-10 team that gets in the playoffs one year. It's going to be, and that to me is dreck. That's a bridge too far for me. So I do like the single bye, so everybody has to work for it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like that bottom seventh team that's already dreck. Like, we were already debating heavily on Sports Talk Radio about whether or not the Eagles even, quote unquote, deserve to get in the playoffs. They wouldn't even have been the final seed. They would have been, like, they would even have been, like, you
oh,
know,
I got you.
There would have been teams with way worse question. Records in.
Can this fan base not accept more playoff football?
I think you always talk about the intelligence of this fan base. Now you're talking about a 7-9 Eagles team getting in the playoffs.
It's still a playoff weekend.
Yeah, but it's diluted. It's and the week to week doesn't matter as much, because now on the one half, the top teams won't sit anybody because they're trying to get that number one bye. But now, what's the difference at that point between like 5, 6, or 7? You might as well make sure you're healthy on that end. So then you do sit team, because who cares to be 8-8? Be 7-9. Who cares if you're 9-7? Be 8-8. You're still going to be a 7 seed. It puts you in a spot now where there's unintended consequences with the week to week, every week matters. And that's what makes me not like this. In addition to the health reasons, where a Super Bowl team may have to play 2 extra games. And I don't know. I'll tell you what one note Eagles fan was clamoring for: more regular season with all those injuries we had last year as fans.
All right, so you would accept the playoff without the 17th game?
Yep.
Or you,
okay. If I had to. And I could accept the 17th game if I had to with the same playoffs. Doing both, to me, dilutes the importance of the week.
Let's take a little inventory here with the people. You're getting more playoff weekends. One more. Is that worth it to you to have a bad team slip in?
And what you also get both of those days, Saturday and Sunday, is football basically from like noon to 4, 4 to 8. Like, you get football like for 8 straight, like yeah. forever. Like, you get a full day of football in a way. So I know it will be appealing to a certain amount of people, but I don't like it.
All right. Now, in the collective bargaining agreement, obviously the NFL makes out, because now you're selling more advertising and you're more lucrative and your rights fees and all that kind of stuff. So all that goes up. So I would assume that the collective bargaining agreement and the player association would be savvy enough to reap that percentage increase on a year-to-year basis to make that cap go further and further up. And if it does, that's more money for the players, and that's why they're going to cave to it.
Yes, but they're only getting, it's about the cut of the revenue. They're getting one
this
more
year.
Percent. No, it'll be one more forever. It's just a matter of
all
when
right,
they
well,
do a new TV
that's
deal.
That's what I'm saying. There should be an escalation that comes with new revenue streams coming in.
And the other part is, they want to make it a 10-year deal. If they're able to make a 10-year deal, they can ask for $1 trillion. And there's a whole digital rights thing that's still out there where will Twitter, will Amazon, will Apple, will Google bid on the online rights to games too. So there's going to be money to be made there. But the number one thing the players need to hold out for is that lifetime medical if you play 5 years in the league. And if they don't hold out for that, what this is going to lead to is it will lead to more money. And it will absolutely, unfortunately, lead to more death. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Okay.
From
right.
CTE.
Let's go. Rob in Wilmington. Rob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
All right. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering if Brett Brown paid attention to the All-Star game. Because for the life of me, I do not understand why Aviv is standing at the top of the key all the time. In that All-Star game, he became a board banger because he wanted to get in the game and they played physical. Once he catches the ball in the paint, he cannot be stopped.
Yeah, in a game like that, he can't. Nobody's playing defense, and they're playing with a single defender.
In the fourth quarter, they played defense, man.
Yeah, that but they weren't doubling him. He gets doubled all the time when he gets the ball.
It does. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter. If he catches, they take it from him when he's standing out there at the top of the key. When he catches the ball in the paint, he's one of the better shooters, shooting centers that I've seen since Mel Counts and Jack Sigma. You know, he can shoot, man.
Mel counts.
Yeah.
What are we going back? Mel counts.
He was an outside shooter. He was 7 foot.
I remember the name, but come on, man. It's 2020. Defenses are a lot better. They're a lot quicker. They double. They triple.
Haven't you figured this out yet? The only two places that he can shoot on the court is left of the key and right of the key. The corners, he cannot shoot in those corners. You got shooters on that team.
Rob, listen to me. I agree with you because there was one play that he makes where he steps back and he shoots that little jumper, or he faces up from the side from 10, 15 feet. That's the jumper you're talking about. What I'm telling you is when Embiid is down there, he is always being occupied by two defenders in a regular NBA season game.
Correct. Okay, what I'm saying is, I'll agree with you there, but what I'm saying, this boy is so
the All-Star
strong.
Game is a bad indication. You can't take anything from an All-Star game.
I would say in the fourth quarter of that game, man, it was a physical game in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, but they weren't doubling them.
Can I make another point now?
Sure, absolutely.
Here's what happens. Brett Brown's the problem. He's got to go. The young buck, Ben Simmons, he's very fast. They got a couple guys that can run with him. Richardson is one. Scott's another one. If they shut off Ben Simmons.
Scott?
Yeah.
What?
And he shoots a three. And they shouldn't have got rid of Riddick. You know, what did they get rid of Riddick for? I don't understand that.
They didn't get rid of him. He got a better offer and a better deal. Well, he chose to sign somewhere else.
Well, they should have put up.
Come on, Rob, you're killing me. I can't take it anymore. First of all, you brought Mel Counts. My ears closed. Mel Counts? What are you kidding me? Mel Counts was like a backup center in the league.
He should be like him, Mike.
What is Mel Counts? All right, 610-632-097. I love the old timers' perspectives, though. You know, because they don't carry like the old school perspective into the modern day. Like what worked in the old school had to work in the modern day.
Now you want to know one thing where baseball's better? Not only are you wrong, you got a bunch of guys that complain about the home run, but for the most part, the old school baseball guys find a way to relate to the old school to the new school. The NBA guys, they just want to change it back. The baseball guys seem like they do a better job overall of evolving to the new school baseball.
Yes.
But the NBA guys? No. All them three-pointers.
Baseball doesn't evolve like the other sports as much. Because the other sports are athleticism and speed. And you can still in baseball get away with non-athleticism and non-speed. Right?
Yeah, you can.
All right. I'm just looking at Mel Counts here. Mel Counts played in the 60s into the 70s.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
He averaged 8.3 points for his career and 6 rebounds. 8.3 points, 6 rebounds a game. And he shot 43%.
So what?
I don't know how he popped that guy up.
Like, how do you...
Of all guys to bring up, you bring this guy up?
That's who Embiid needs
Mel
to play.
Mel Counts. Good Lord.
I wonder if he's listening. Mel, if you're listening, 610.
Mel Counts? Where's he? Is he still alive? Let's see. Mel Counts, he's still alive.
Maybe he's listening.
He's from Oregon.
Oh.
He was the 7th pick overall, Tyrone, in his 64 draft.
He sounds like a bust.
7-footer.
Yeah, I mean, 7th pick in the draft, 8 points a game.
Yeah, I don't have much recollection of Mel Counts except I've heard the name. John in Germantown. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Yeah, the first comment I want to make is that you said what point guard didn't take any jump shots? My recollection.
Rondo?
Of course, Rondo. And he won a championship.
But he still took a shot. He still tried to shoot.
Horrible jump shooter.
He wasn't good, but he still tried it.
Horrible. But I don't want to focus on Rondo.
All right, you gave me one in the history of the NBA. Thank you. The team that also that won, that team that won, they had three other guys on it, didn't they?
And we had three other guys.
You got Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen. Wait, I don't see them.
Right. I don't want to make this that.
All right, go ahead.
Because everybody gets up on Ben. So if he does elite jump shooting and then doesn't do everything else, would you still want him on a team?
Well, then you're changing the moving the goalpost here. You're creating a silly scenario. A player needs to be able to shoot a jump shot.
No, I agree with Isaiah said. Make the free throws, and he's been doing better at that line. Can you agree with that?
You're missing the point. To go to the free throw line, you have to be always willing to attack. If you don't, and he's not always willing to attack. So to replace the points where he's unwilling to attack, it would be nice if he made a clear, open 12-foot look.
All right, so my next thing, right, is a trade scenario. Since we're so hard on Ben, let's give up Ben for Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. What you think about that?
I would not do that.
Right, so you don't want to get rid of this
man. I just want the guy to win. I love the guy. What are you missing? I want him to be Giannis. I think he has the ability to be Giannis.
Exactly. And he has a higher IQ than Giannis.
But he doesn't shoot it. How do you sit there and go, that's okay?
Giannis just started.
No, John, forget Giannis. John, how do you sit there and see a player who won't take a shot and that's acceptable to you?
Because he gets everybody else's involved.
Okay, he can do that and shoot. How about that?
Ben will win us the championship. We get rid of Ben.
Nobody wants to get rid of Ben. You're missing the point. I just like if you have a daughter and she's a B student, wouldn't you like her to be an A student and work a little harder, maybe get to be up to an A?
Yeah, Ben needs. No, I agree.
All right, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. Just bring it up to an A. It's a good B plus. An A is better. Right? That's all I wanted to be an A. 610-632-0975. Mel Counts' nickname was Goose. How about that?
That's a good nickname.
And Booney adds, Willis Reed was taken one pick behind Counts. There you go.
Well,
Knicks got their money's worth.
Yeah, they did.
The Celtics and the Lakers did not. Mike Missanelli Show, you can climb into open line 610-622-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show. The Fanatic.
You bet. 3:31, Mike Missanelli Show. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll. In for Natalie today is Tyler Zoe. Tyler?
Thank you, Mike. So the question today is, with Phillies manager Joe Girardi saying that the MLB punishments won't be a deterrent to cheat, what should the league have done? Suspend players, vacate the World Series, postseason ban, or all of the above? Just over 900 votes now. 46% say all of the above. 21% say suspend the players. 18% say vacate World Series. 15% say a postseason ban.
All right. News today. This is why this thing will never go away. Poppy. Big Poppy stepped up to
that. He's weighed in?
Poppy is ripping Mike Fiers.
For snitching.
And Poppy comes from a no-snitch culture.
Mm-hmm.
They shot up his ass, and he wouldn't
say anything. No, right? He is a zero teller.
Exactly. So he says that I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher who came out talking about it, meaning Mike Fiers, who went to the Oakland A's and informed his teammates and other people that this is what the Astros had done. And let me tell you why, Poppy says. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why didn't you say, I don't want to be no part of it? So you look like a snitch. Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem. Why nobody said anything while it was going on? Come on, Poppy. You can't be saying something while it was going on. You got to snitch. That's more of a snitch.
Right.
You don't dime out your teammates when it's going on. That's a snitch. When you go try to help your other team that you're now getting paid by to say, hey, these guys do this, so let's be wary of it.
Right. That's
come on.
See, now that's him. Now Jessica Mendoza was the first person. I wonder, as time goes on, it's going to be more people anti-snitch.
Well, excuse me. The snitching cold. I get it. I get the snitch thing. But, you know, the whole thing doesn't come. Are we better off that the whole thing came out?
Yes. All absolutely.
Right. We are, because this would have been going on forever.
Right, in Boston.
Unless somebody came out.
And it would have spread to the Mets this year.
Right.
It was already in Boston. It was going to slowly spread. Yeah, it would have.
So, there's one thing being a snitch, the other thing being a helpful snitch.
He's almost more like a whistleblower.
A whistleblower snitch.
He's not really a snitch. Didn't do it. And this isn't high crime. I mean, it is in a way. But at the same time, he has a responsibility to the person that was now paying him. Once the Astros stop paying him, his loyalty has to be with the new people that are paying him to avoid this. And when he initially said it, another thing with this commissioner, Major League Baseball did nothing. So he ended up having to go public because he tells the A's. The A's write the report. Baseball does nothing. So then once he did nothing, they forced his hand. Then he had to go public because baseball didn't stop it initially. So what was he supposed to do?
Yeah, I'm reading the story, and one thing I noticed outside the point is that I remember a time in journalism where a journalist would redo the quote to make it sound perfect, right?
Yeah.
Now, at least they're quoting people the way they speak.
What's
this
that?
The copy speaks exactly like a broken English thing, right? So it's like, for instance, this quote here. The Houston Astros, I know they put themselves in a situation, and I just still don't know how come nobody was like, that is wrong. I just don't know how no one say something about it. Now, in the past, that would be changed. I mean, editors would go, wait, that doesn't sound right. Let's grammatize his quote.
Right.
I mean, they don't do that anymore. That's good.
You think that's
progress.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
The way the guy speaks is the quote.
Right, we know English is a second language, too.
Right.
We know that.
Exactly. Like, for him to say, I don't know how someone wouldn't just say something about it. Like, that's too sterilized. That's poppy speaking.
Right.
So that's good. That's a good part of journalism.
All right.
Let's go Jeff and Camden. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Jeff?
All right, so playoffs coming up, Sixers. What the hell are we going to do?
Are you asking me to look into the crystal ball right now?
No. Strategy.
Strategy.
Against the Milwaukee Bucks, which is the best team in the league right now, next to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, but they seem to match up pretty well against the Bucks. So, like, Ben Simmons is a major asset against that team because he can play Giannis and make him really work.
Yeah, but I mean,
the problem is they have four other guys on the floor who can make threes, and that's really tough to cover.
It is.
When you got Giannis, if Giannis beats him off the dribble, it creates all kinds of openings.
So we're going back to the playoff fouls of the 80s, Cadillac Anderson.
What?
I'm just saying, what shall we do to strategize our game plan going into the playoffs? What can we do?
Well, the NBA is the NBA, bro. You got to play really good defense in the NBA, but you also have to make 3-point shots. The Sixers are going to have to make some threes. All season long, they've been able to win without being a great 3-point shooting team. That's going to have to change in the playoffs. And that's where these two guys come in that they just got.
Okay. Richardson, I think he's solid. I have faith in Richardson. Embiid, that's my guy. Pretty much, I just don't know where to go with Ben Simmons because I've never seen a player like him before.
Listen, it's really simple what they have to do. Embiid has to be a dominant player, and he's going to have to get the ball in the post a little more and pass out of it if they double and be more savvy and be faster with his decisions. And Ben Simmons is going to have to attack. If those two things happen, it all revolves around those two, doesn't it?
And Korkmaz is clutch. He's a clutch guy that lives for the moment. He lives for the moment. He's a clutch guy.
He lives for the moment? What moment?
Yeah. Clutch. He's a clutch 3-point shooter.
What moment does he live for? Wait, about playoff moment?
No. You've seen this guy when the light is on.
When the light was on Tuesday, wasn't it?
He wants the spotlight. He can knock down a three.
He wants the spotlight. Do we see two different games?
No. Four count court, come on.
Seriously, what is he? Has he shown you that playoff? I want the spotlight.
Well, you don't want me to go shake Milton.
No. I mean, you're going a little too far with Furkan. I hope he can make some threes. But you watched the Tuesday game, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's a hotter cauldron in the playoffs. That was a hot cauldron the other night. He melted.
Right. And we don't have no more Theo Ratliff or anything like that we can, bank our, that's all in the past.
Theo Ratliff? So, well, is this my, what's going on with me today? Are people spoofing me today?
I think it's a bit of a prank.
No, I don't think he was pranking.
Well, Theo Ratliff.
I don't know where Theo Ratliff comes into play.
And
of course, I didn't know where Mel Counts came into play. This has been a very unusual hour. All right.
Mel Counts. I still don't go with
it. Listen, we were just having a conversation about the Sixers in the playoffs. And he went Theo on me. Where's that come from? That was like a flash.
And the other part is, just basketball-wise, Embiid on defense does a lot of Theo Ratliff stuff. He does switch on smaller guys. Theo is still, like, embodied. He's still here.
We don't have Theo Ratliff to count on, though, he said.
Yeah, but
We didn't really count on him the year they went to the finals. They didn't count on him.
No.
Because, well, I counted on him early in the season. Mm-hmm. Then he was evaporated. It was gone.
Yeah. You have Embiid and Horford. I mean, yeah, that's one place I don't need Ratliff. Mm. I need Ray Allen.
Don't get me wrong. I love Theo.
Loved him.
I did love Theo.
But I'm saying this team needs Ray Allen more than it needs.
Theo was really the first center I saw that was able to do things defensively different than any center.
Larry Brown changed the game using Theo.
That had never been done before. You're right. And that had never been done. And you saw the versatility of a guy who had that kind of athleticism to actually go out and guard.
And that made Garnett, in my opinion, the best defender ever. They started doing that in Minnesota after that.
Yep.
And he was switched. He was an animal for the rest of his career, yep. Garnett.
All right, one open line, 610-620-9975. It's the Mel Counts Memorial Show today, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Having a good time talking about the Sixers as they resume tonight. I don't think I'll have any problems with this team tonight. What is the line on tonight's game?
It was 8.5.
Is it really that high?
It was 8.5. I got to check if it moved at all. That'll tell us about Ben Simmons a little bit. But it was 8.5 at like 3:00.
That's a monster line. All right, so Sixers coming off. All depends on how all these teams come off a layoff. And you're home, you're relaxed. You know, will they come out with energy tonight, you think?
It's 7.5.
7.5?
Yeah, okay. Now it's down to 7.5 because of the Ben Simmons.
It's down 7.5? Because yeah. Ben is questionable?
Yeah. At -360 on the money line.
You know, he could use a night off.
He's played a lot of minutes.
He has, but it's like he just had some time off.
I know, but he traveled and I don't know. If you can still win without him, then he's fresh for Saturday. But I don't like playing those games, but I'm just, if it's tight, do you take the risk if the back is tight?
And Sixers -7.5. Flyers at Columbus tonight. The Blue Jackets are now -127.
Moving in their direction.
This is a double revenge game for the Blue Jackets. And Elliott will be in goal. Still loving the Flyers tonight?
I love them less. Well, the lines moved. It was very slender this morning.
It was.
Thin. Now it's
almost a must-win situation for Columbus.
Yeah, they're in a jam.
So I don't know how this is going to play out tonight. Hey, Anthony and Malvern, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Anthony.
Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Ant?
Not much. Before I get to my Eagles and Flyers point, I agree with Tyrone 100% about the NFL playoff system. But I think maybe they should do like they do in baseball. Week 17 could be the 6 and 7 seed playing against each other to go into the next round.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that. I mean, that's an interesting little twist you put on it. But
yeah
that's not what is proposed.
So I hear you. So you, it would bother you that much that, like some inferior team would be the seventh team in?
No.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Well,
all right. I'd say to me, playoff football is better than not playoff football. So I'm okay with an extra weekend.
Right. Exactly. So my Eagles point. Mm-hmm. Eagles releasing Nigel Bradham.
Mm-hmm.
That makes us a lot more weaker at the linebacker position. So what do you think they do as they go through the draft, to draft more younger talent?
No, I think they will sign someone who's cheaper and probably a little faster than Bradham. I really don't think it's that big of a problem because of how what they think of their linebackers. Grugier Hill might be an option to come back. He's got a little speed.
I was saying that too, but just being injury prone too, he hasn't been playing a full
season. Yeah, I see. I just think they couldn't have re-signed him. They couldn't have brought Bradham back. It was going to cost them $8 million, and they just weren't willing to pay that. I wouldn't either. I mean, that position is not worth it enough to pay him $8 million to come back.
So what did that free up?
It frees up 4 point something mil on the salary cap. Okay. 4.5.
I guess they can find somebody
decent
for that.
Yeah, I mean, they can fill it. See, right now, the linebackers, like, you're looking for two linebackers, basically, to play with all the defensive sets they put in, all the nickel packages and dime packages.
True.
And it's all
true.
Not covering people anymore.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a passing league. Flyers, man, I'm all about it. I think Carter Hart is not Swiss cheese, and if they can avoid playing Tampa Bay in the playoffs, which I think it's just a team that just can't match up well again.
Yeah.
Then I think they can make a decent run, man.
Really? So you think this could be a two round win?
Oh yeah.
Team.
Oh yeah. Two round win.
Well, I hope you're right. I don't know why the guy said why his friends think Carter Hart's Swiss cheese. When he's on his game, he's a pretty good goalie. Not Swiss cheese. He has struggles on the road, but that's probably because he's young.
I mean, they've shown that they can win in Boston, they can win in Washington, they can win in Pittsburgh. I mean, they can win in these individual games.
We make a mistake of like the set. It's a series, and they get thrown off the cart with the overvaluing regular season games that they win. Series are tough against better teams. Aaron in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Hey, Mike, how you been, buddy?
What's up, Aaron?
I haven't talked to you in a while.
How you doing?
I'm gonna, before I get to my Sixers point, Ben, I'm going to ask you something. This might seem off the cuff. When you do your general knowledge on Wednesday, when you do that show, right, the prizes you give out, how do you get the prizes? Are they donated to you or given to you? What the station can give, you know what I mean?
The station has connections to get certain prizes, and it's done by our marketing people and our promotions people. And they get, you see, we have good affiliations with a lot of musical concerts and things like that, because we do have some music stations in our chain.
Right, because when I went in there and got a prize, I won something. And I said, 97.5, give out, you know, the Fanatic give out good prize. They was like, they really don't.
Who said that?
The country stations give out more, and other stations give out more. And
this was like station on station crime?
Yeah, station on station crime.
So what, somebody from our other stations?
Wait a minute,
some loudmouth from another station on our chain ripped us for our prizes?
No, not ripped. That y'all don't really get prizes like the other stations do. So I didn't understand the connection, how y'all
do. I don't select the prizes.
But, you know, I like the prize y'all give, brother.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I complain about the prizes. I tell them to up their game.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, Ben, I mean, we don't want to get rid of Ben. We just want his game to
go to an A game.
Take another step.
A.
We want him to take a jumper when you have one. We don't want you to shoot, like, 30 threes in a game. You're not carrying nobody. We just, when you're open, shoot the ball, Ben. Just shoot it. You know what I mean? Giannis do it. When he's open, he just shoots.
You gotta look at it like it's one of your children. Yeah, listen, little Janie. I know you're getting B's, but little Janie, you work harder. You may spend like an extra hour on the math. You bring an A home, and I'm a lot happier.
From what we see, though, don't he always practice shooting jumpers?
Yeah, he does.
So, you know, that should translate into taking some jumpers in a game.
You would think.
Yeah, but, you know.
I got you, man. So what was he saying now? So when our station, he ran into somebody in the hallway. Our 975 gives out good prizes, and they sniffed at it.
They said somebody they sniffed? Really don't. Now, I will say.
Somebody from our other station said that.
Yes. Now, sales is involved with the prizes as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it is on the music stations, they give something out, I think, every day.
Yeah.
Well, you give something out basically once a week.
Right.
I think the midday show gives out stuff a little bit more often.
Uh-huh.
And the morning show about the same as the midday show.
Right.
And the rest of the day, we don't give anything out after 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
While on the music stations, they give something out every day. So they were probably talking about the quantity. Because I think they have very similar prizes, if not the same prizes.
Okay.
Like when we get a country ticket, I think our country station is giving out.
Yes.
So
I appreciate the contribution from the country station. That was tickets every now and then.
Oh, I think it had to do with the quantity, because we don't give out that much here.
Okay.
And I only want to give out as much as we do. So.
All right, 4 o'clock hours ahead. 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to try to crack open the controversy of one of our regular callers. Now, he's a pain in the ass.
There's some added evidence. He made some mistakes today.
He made
the sound off.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, I almost want to hear from him directly. We have actually suspended Jim from Havertown.
Mm-hmm.
But this has reached another level, apparently. So we're going to ferret this situation out in the 4 o'clock hour. And maybe I have a theory on what happened here, but I'm not going to put it out there. I want to hear it from him why he did it.
Okay.
I don't think his intentions actually were bad.
I think we have some other evidence.
We do?
That will show that you were incorrect.
We'll discuss it, because this is interesting. The other callers, because they know, they've heard Jim on this radio station. So we'll explain the whole situation in the 4 o'clock hour. And also we'll talk to Tim McManus early in the 4 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Misnelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.